Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was the lady in a nightgown out in a snowstorm? And how did she just disappear?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We really, really want to hear your real ghost stories. So if you've got one, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, that's an option. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You can sign up today through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol. That's Kathy Gordon. How's everything today?
Well, everything's good, but you know, I got to tell you, this snowstorm business.
With a disappearing lady. There's
Snowstorms are just, to me, scary anyway, right? If you're out in a snowstorm driving
night,
or whatever.
At night.
So creepy. You pull into a hotel, it's creepy. They're creepy. You know, you're at the mercy of wherever you can get pulled over and whatever. There's just something very dark and heavy about snowstorms. It's like you can't see the world. You can't see where you are. You know, you've kind of lost your bearings about you somewhat. And then this?
Yeah, this one's creepy.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
I do.
So it says, I'm writing these stories on behalf of the many firsthand accounts of the paranormal told to me by close friends and family. Although I firmly believe in the paranormal, I've never had anything happen to me directly that is worth a compelling story. Oh, let us be the judge of that. We'll judge if your story is compelling or not. These, however, come from my sister's fiance, who is an RCMP officer in our small rural town. And I had to think about that for a minute. Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yeah.
I had to think about that because I'm like, what is an RCMP? What's an RCMP? He is a skeptic when it comes to ghosts, which makes me believe that he really wasn't making this up, but I could tell he was truly shaken up from these encounters that always seemed to happen on his shifts alone at night. On one of his night shifts a few winters ago, he got a call from a family living just down the road. They seemed very concerned, saying they saw an older lady dressed in a thin white nightgown walking aimlessly in the big field beside their house. See, that would be really scary because that could be someone with dementia.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to get that woman in. You know, somebody's looking for her. What do they call it? Silver alert. I don't know if they do that in Canada, if they call it silver alert, but when they're looking for someone, and that's what it makes you think. So you would call the police.
Right.
Thinking it was odd that someone would walk around a farmer's field in a nightgown this late at night, it wasn't overly surprising as there are many older residents living in town who have dementia. That's just what we were thinking. Getting into his police cruiser, he made his way to the house that made the phone call. He asked where they last saw the elderly lady and they pointed toward the open field running along their property. As he started trekking through the field, he almost immediately spotted the lady in white. Seeing the trail of footsteps that were leading in her direction, he followed directly in her footsteps while calling out for her to stop and asking if she was okay. She wasn't responding to him, so he kept following her through the field, trying to catch up. As he alternated, shining the flashlight down to the footprints in the snow and back towards the old lady who just kept walking, she seemed not to notice him calling out to her. And even all this does seem like it could be someone with dementia.
Sure.
You know, that all makes sense. So he kept walking in her direction, hoping to catch her attention. As he pointed his flashlight back down to the trail in the snow, he saw what completely stopped him in his tracks. The footsteps stopped. He looked around to see if the footsteps led anywhere else, but all he could see was a fresh layer of snow surrounding him. This was impossible. She couldn't have gone anywhere else since he was following the path she made. And even if she backtracked, he would have seen her. He immediately looked up only to see that she had completely vanished, as if she had just disappeared from where the footsteps abruptly ended. He quickly searched the rest of the field, but she was nowhere to be found. The second story is from another time on the night shift. One night, he kept receiving phone calls with only silence on the other end of the line. Getting tired of these apparent prank calls, he decided to trace where the calls were coming from, only to find out that it was from a landline in an area that had no cell service or anyone living there. It came from an old mining town that burned down in the 70s. There's only one logging road that leads up to it now, and all the houses are uninhabited. Never mind having a working landline up there. That, and there's absolutely no cell service there either. As he kept getting the calls, it started to spook him out. So he decided to drive up there to see if anything was going on. I couldn't.
Okay, he has a job that
protect and serve.
You have to be brave to have the job to begin with. Okay, so we're going to give him that.
Oh my God. If I was getting them and it was like, oh, wait, the calls are coming from an uninhabited town that burned down in the 1970s.
With no cell phone.
Yeah, and there's no landlines. There's no houses. There's no electricity. There's no anything up there. I think I'll go check it out.
I'm going to get in the car and drive up there and see what the heck's going on.
I am so glad I'm not a Royal Canadian Mounted Police person.
But, you know, let's understand here. That is his
job. Hey,
hats
off to this guy. He's doing his job. Yes.
Right.
So he decided to drive up there. Our town is very quiet and dark at night, so it's hard to miss anyone driving by. He made his way up the logging road towards the town, still not passing any kind of vehicle on the way. As he arrived at the abandoned town, there seemed to be no sign of anyone messing around up there. This old mining village is known to be haunted and has a very ominous and lonely feeling when you walk through it. Could someone have made that prank call? But how is it possible that it came from a landline? I'm curious to hear what you think of this lady in white and the mysterious phone calls. Were these truly paranormal encounters? I love your podcast. I listen to you guys every chance I get. Hannah. Yeah. Totally freaky and paranormal. Next story.
Next story, actually. These are just two really good ghost stories. And they, to me, read like very sincere ghost stories. Number one, there is zero reason in the world for this guy to make this up.
Well, that's her sister's fiance. You know, she knows him well.
And there is no reason. And it, to me, the stories sound completely plausible. Somebody calls, they've seen a woman. You and I both jumped to the silver alert idea, of course. And of course he's going to go out and track this down, right? It could be a woman. Well, and he saw her. It's a woman. He's going to go get her, right? That's his job. And so of course he's going to do that. But my God, then the footsteps just stop.
That's the creepiest part. That's like a Twilight Zone. Both of them are like episodes of the Twilight Zone. Like back when it was really good with Rod Serling.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, that's his job. To go do that.
I wonder how
and
they
then
knew.
To have these, you know, very bizarre twists to them.
I guess there's a way you know if you're getting a cell call versus a landline.
I think so. I think they would know that from there.
I mean, we don't know how to do that, but someone I'm sure does.
I think they do, because he would have all that kind of emergency sort of information.
And it makes me think that it was kind of a slow night for him, because he's getting all these prank calls and it's like, F this, I'm gonna go find out what's going on.
I wonder if he talked to anybody later about that, or if there was a record of it, you know, that would show that these calls came in that night, and he could have talked to someone and said, any ideas about this?
My guess is absolutely there's a record of it, because it would be like calling 911. Every 911
That's what
call
I would think.
Has a record.
Yeah. And I would think there would be, you know, some sort of record. And then you would go to, you know, the people that that's kind of their thing, the dispatcher type people, or the, you know, whoever they have there working, and saying, how is this possible?
And it could have just been going directly to the police substation or the Royal Canadian Mounted substation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, my guess is he did talk to him. If he actually got in the car and drove up there, which is, oh my God.
He's
like
so
I
brave.
Said, I know he gets paid to be brave. But good heavens, that seems above and beyond.
And trying to find a woman in a nightgown in a snowstorm, that's dedication. Because he didn't know he's going to look for a ghost.
Yeah.
He was looking for a woman who probably had dementia. He was out to save her.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That was creepy. Okay, let's go to a caller next.
Hi, this is Fred. I'm from Vermont, and I got a couple of really quick ones for you. They're nothing ghastly, nothing horrid, or no demons, or any of that kind of stuff. It's actually kind of simple, but real, and it freaked me out when it happened. It was many, many years ago. I was about 15. I was visiting my cousin, the first one here, and this one actually happened to me. And I was at his, they had just moved into a new house, and I was, and they, when they moved into the house, it was, they came from a place where they were in the backwoods, like a back road, and they moved to a house that was right on the major highway. And, their dog that they had for many, many years within the first week was hit and killed within a week of moving in. And they went out and got another dog. And this was the, like 2 weeks after that, and I'm sitting on the bed reading a comic book, and right directly in front of me is the doorway to the room that I was in, and right out the doorway to the left was my cousin Al's room, and my cousin Mike, who was my friend, and we were sharing the same room, he was in the bathroom brushing his teeth, getting ready to go to bed, and I'm reading this comic book, and I noticed something moving in the hallway out of the corner of my eye. So, out of the peripheral vision of my eye. So I pick my head up, and I see plain as day, solid as can be, the last half of a dog going into the room next door. And the first half was blocked by the wall. It was like it had already walked by the door, and I caught the last part of it going into this other room. So I got up. I love dogs. So I got up and I walked into this room to pet their new dog. And I walk into that room and there's no dog anywhere. And we're talking, there's no way it could have gone. There's no place it could have gone anywhere without me seeing it. And I asked my cousin when he came back out where their dog was. And he was like, well, no, we have to tie it up, we have to tie him up outside at night because he keeps people awake in the house. And so that's where he is. And so I told him the story. And he said the original dog, the one that was hit when they first moved in, the week he was here, he would go into that room every night and sleep under Al's bed. That's what he did. So there you go. That's my only real experience with ghost stories. The other one was just something my mom told me. It's a story I'll never forget. This was even longer ago. I was probably 6 or 7 at the time, but my mom's mother was very sick, and my parents owned a bakery. And they knew she didn't have long to live. And Mom wanted to be with her that Friday night, but she couldn't. My dad was in the hospital, so she had to run the bakery. And so we were going to go down early Saturday morning just so that she could be with my grandmother, her mother. So she goes to bed Friday night, planning on getting us up all early Saturday morning and rushing down to Manchester, which was a couple hours away. And in the middle of the night, she has a dream. And in the dream, or she thought it was a dream anyway, in the dream, her mother comes to her at the foot of the bed, tells her that she loves her, and says goodbye. And she said she noticed the clock, and the clock said like 2:35 a.m. And then she went back to sleep in her dream, or so she thought. It was a dream anyway. It was one of those ones that like seemed so real. And then she woke up the next morning. She's getting us ready to go, and the phone rings. And it's my aunt, my mother's sister. And she's like, you don't have to worry. You don't have to hurry to come down. You know, take your time. Mom passed away last night at 2:30. So there you go. That was my second story. Again, nothing harrowing, nothing evil or scary or anything really. Just a little weird, but also, in a way, a little reassuring that maybe when we pass, we don't necessarily say goodbye, or we can say goodbye or whatever, but there's still some communication there. But anyway, there you go, and I love your show. And if I hear my story, great. If not, I still enjoy the show. Bye-bye.
So let's start with that second one about the mom.
Let's do.
Because one thing I find fascinating is I have heard similar experiences so many times from so many people that they had an experience at the exact moment a loved one passed. Now, the experience might vary, not necessarily exactly that, but there's been so many of those. So many people have reported similar things that there has to be something to that.
I agree. There definitely does. And I think he's absolutely right when he said, you know, I mean, it's very sad and tragic that they lost her, but how reassuring that she came to say goodbye and say, you know, I love you, you know, and wanted to comfort the daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's so beautiful.
And the daughter took it as comforting. I might be like, that might scare the shit out of me.
But I think the way it happened,
it wasn't scary.
It was, and he said she thought it was a dream, but not sure, you know. But it was so real.
And an experience like that would be so wrapped in love from the person because they care so much about you that they wanted to like say goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, those are so powerful, and there's been so many
of
those.
That was really a good story.
And then the dog one. So you know damn well if you just saw a dog
walk
by.
Love our dogs.
And if you're laying there reading a comic book or whatever he's doing, you saw a dog walk by. It's like, a dog, I got to go see it. To the point he got up to go see the dog. That's how real that was.
Yeah.
And then to find out there was a dog that did sleep under that bed. That's interesting to me.
I agree.
But that's how, I mean, if you see a dog, that would be my reaction too. I got to go see the dog. What? You got a dog here?
Yeah. Hey, there's a dog in here. I'm going to see it.
I got to go see this dog.
Yeah.
Just walked by. Yeah. That's interesting to me.
I agree.
Those were two really good stories.
Those were really good ones. I loved them.
It was his one and only ghost story was a ghost dog, but it was really good. I don't really need demon stories all day. I like a good
those. Grandma came to say goodbye, and that's so moving.
Because I can sleep better tonight now because it's 9 o'clock at night. Once we're done, you know, and I go to bed in a little bit, I don't want to talk about demons.
Exactly.
But dogs and moms, like, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
So we've got one more, and it says, I have had several experiences over my lifetime. The most significant one happened when I was in high school. I grew up in Georgetown, South Carolina, which is a very old and haunted town. I had a friend who lived in an old plantation house out in the country on a swamp. She had told me many times that her house was haunted. They had only one room that was occupied in the upstairs, which used to be her little sister's, but she complained about a little girl that would sing and keep her up late at night, so she switched rooms with her. I did not believe her and thought she was just poking fun. Her boyfriend had stayed one weekend and said that he woke up too. A little girl was standing next to the bed, staring at him. She convinced me to stay the night one weekend so that we could have a seance so that she could prove it to me. I would be like, you're so full of shit. I believe you. I don't care. I'm like,
I totally believe you. I totally believe it.
Like, I don't know. No seance in your haunted freaking plantation home.
But okay, Carol, let's put a twist on this. If you could have a seance that help that child to pass on and not be trapped here, would you do it?
Maybe during the daytime. I mean, why wouldn't that work? Why do you have to do it at night?
I don't know. I don't think you'd have to.
But I might call someone. I don't know that I'm the best person to help someone pass on, but I might say, you know what? I know someone who knows someone. I got a guy. He's going to come over and help you pass on.
Then we got Carol, and like, she's not so great at it, but.
But she cares deeply.
But she cares and wants you to move on.
But if I had a friend who was saying, come over so we can have a seance, and she could prove to me that there was a little girl there.
Yeah, they're not trying to help the little girl. They're just trying to see the little girl, right?
I would be like, I have got to do anything but that. Anything. I'd clean out my damn refrigerator.
Well, keep going. Let's see what happens.
It started earlier that day when she wanted to show me a strange tree out in the swamp. So we both put on our high rubber boots and walked through the swamp to this old tree that had carvings of pentagrams and things. Then in parentheses says, which she probably did herself. That's a little passive aggressive. She said that this tree was haunted by an old slave woman who used to work on the plantation. She asked me to put my hand on the tree and she started to chant weird things. The wind started blowing very hard around us. Her dogs had come out into the swamp with us. And I noticed that they immediately got scared and ran off. I took my hand off the tree and told her that I had had enough and I wanted to go back. She asked me if I had heard the woman's voice and I told her no, I wanted to go. So we left. That night, we were asleep in her room and the dogs, who were not allowed upstairs, were crying and howling at the door, which woke me up. Then I heard singing, which sounded like a little girl. I turned over to my friend and tried to wake her, but she would not, so I covered my head and began to cry until morning when I left as soon as I could and I never went back. I came home and told my mother about it and she was so upset that she took me to see our preacher, who believed that I had been near a demon. I was never allowed to see that friend again. Casey. Well, yeah.
Well,
I get it. I get why you don't want your daughter hanging out with that girl.
The friend did seem sort of mean.
Well, and then you put your hand on it, and can you hear this slave woman? And
you know, and it, like, kind of setting her up, you know.
I'm
trying
telling
to scare
you though,
her with
that
things.
One time when I went to Tony's house, and he had a different house than he has now, and so. I don't know what was that house, like a 3 or 4 bedroom house.
It was a nice house.
Nice house. So Tony's room's on one side. The other side's a guest room, and Harper's room's right next to the guest room, and that's where I was sleeping. And like, I don't know what time it was because it was dark. I heard a girl singing outside my, like right outside my door. Oh, like weird singing.
Okay. Like, oh. So not like a song or words per se.
No words. More just no like, words. It was oh. more like, oh.
Okay.
Loudly. And I'm like, Harper, that little shit. And it quit. I'm like laying there thinking she's going to come in. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't. But I don't hear any walking off or anything like that. And I'm like, and I had the door shut. And so then I fall back to sleep. Still dark. I wake up. Happens again. And then I was like, I'm not even going to acknowledge her because she's just messing with me, this kid. So fall back to sleep, wake up again. It is light out. So it could have been like 6:37 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hear it again. And I was like, what is up with her? Like, she's 10 at the time. I'm like, why is she outside the door singing at me? And I was a little creeped out by it, too, because I'm not hearing her.
Yeah.
And so the next day, I get up and I said to Tony, well, Harper was being a little shithead last night. And he goes, oh, what'd she do? And I said, she was singing outside my door. He goes, Harper was singing outside your door? Yeah. 3 different times. She's singing outside my door. And he goes, that's really weird. And I said, I agree. It was very strange. But I said I didn't respond to her because I didn't want her. I wanted her to go back to bed. It's like, don't be doing this creepy ass shit.
Well, she's just trying to scare me. I don't want to give her the satisfaction. Yeah.
And so apparently when I was not around, I don't know what I was doing, if I had taken a shower or something. But Tony said, you know, why were you scaring Carol last night? And Harper's like, what are you talking about? And I know Harper really well. Tony knows her way better than me. And he's like, Carol, she's not lying. She was not singing. And then I was like, who was it? Who was singing? To this day, I have no idea. And Harper was like, it absolutely was not me. And Harper even said, and this is very true, she goes, Carol, I sleep like a rock. I'm 10. She goes, once I fall asleep, like, I don't wake up till I have to.
Well, and to do it like at 2 o'clock, at 5 o'clock,
yeah,
at 6 o'clock, you know.
And, you know, I thought she's just trying to pretend like she's being a ghost. That's what I thought she was doing. Because it was kind of weird ghostly. It was not like, ooh, it wasn't really like that. But it was creepy. It was creepy. Yeah. So I don't know what it was. So I don't know. But when she heard a little girl singing, man, that brought back bad memories.
Well, and I just felt like the friend seemed kind of mean. And was kind of setting her up to scare her, too.
Yeah.
You know, here's this tree. And, like, she had her doubts. She was like, I think maybe she carved these herself. So she herself thought that maybe this girl was doing things. Now, could she have heard something? She could have. It's old creepy plantation house. Maybe there was this little girl that was there. But I also felt like the friend was kind of mean.
Yeah. And let's just face it. If you live in an old plantation house, is there any question that that house would be haunted?
Right.
There was some really bad things that happened on that property.
Mm-hmm.
So I will 100% believe that the house is haunted, and I believe there's a little girl. But putting your friend through that, that's just cruel.
Yeah.
That's no friend. I'm glad her mom broke up that friendship.
Yeah, I am too.
Not healthy. Sometimes it's okay. It's okay to say goodbye to friends. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you can. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.